for which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Public comments? Anybody wish to come to the podium and speak? Okay. Hearing none. Anybody from the board?
Just want to apologize for my lateness.
Okay.
Tied up unexpectedly.
Accepted. Thank you. Okay.
This guy has something.
Go ahead. Come up. Yeah. Now we're not going to be able to discuss anything on the agenda. So if you want to hold your
I'll hold. Yeah.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right. Thank you. Item 4, approved consent agenda. We've all looked at this. Anybody want to make it up?
I make a motion. We approve.
Okay.
All the 4, 1, 2, and 3, and 4.
Okay. Got a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Got a motion second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Motion carried.
That's not yours, though.
Number 5, discussion and action. 5-1, discussion and action to request City Council to review and provide recommendations to the Planning and Zoning Commission regarding the consideration to designate the area west of Padre Boulevard from the north side of the Convention Center to the south side of Sea Turtle Inc. as the SPI Echo Tourism District. Carrie, that's yours.
Indeed, it is mine. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, good afternoon. So this item had gone before City Council, which voted unanimously as a procedure to come to your committee, then it'll go back to City Council. So I'm proposing, and this isn't a rezoning, redistricting, or anything. We're simply going to rename an area, an island, as the Ecotourism District. The benefits of which, we're creating this district, which will encompass the SPI Birding and Nature Center, Sea Turtle Inc., which in itself attracts tens of thousands of visitors every year. It's good for our tourism. In consideration, the possibility of expanding the convention center, as well as adding a theater, will add much more to this district. So like we did with the art district when we renamed, we didn't change zoning or anything, but we named it the art district, which now enables some of those businesses to start applying for grants and so forth. The focus is on our ecological and cultural attractions that we offer here on the island. Ecotourism now is huge. If you talk to some of the hotelers in the area, they will say the number one reason that people are coming to the island ahead of beach is our ecotourism, Sea Turtle Inc., the birding center, the alligator attractions. So encompassing this, if we build the convention center theater and we do the expansion, I do not anticipate, and I won't approve spending $100 million on that project. It'll be far less, but we can get that done. Getting approval from the county, et cetera, if everything goes through. But when you look at the attributes that the theater will provide, everybody thinks about El Paseo, a theater group here on the island. But it goes way, way beyond that because there are touring acts that travel the country. The Camille Playhouse in Brownsville would love to do some of their plays here on the island if we had the facility. And then you have touring attractions. Most of you, I hope, would have heard about the Starry, Starry Night touring event, which featured Salvador Dali. Phenomenal. We have the perfect venue for something like that. Okay, and in the meantime, if that theater's in use, you can offer a lot of year-round films on nature and our local ecology. So I'm very familiar with aquariums across the country. All of them that I've been to feature a theater where you can watch films on how to protect sea life, the ocean environment, shoreline preservation, any number of them. So when you look at our nature, native habitat, oceanic studies and all that, this is give tourists something to do on days that they're not on the beach. It's family entertainment. They can run films throughout the year at the theater. Also of use of the theater is your education, corporate and social events. Marine biology, coastal management, local and state history, marine debris and ocean trash, that's huge now. Corporate lectures and events, and the effects of industrial development on habitat and our environment. This is important. We want to maintain our beach and protect our habitat, and what we need to do, be doing, especially when it comes to the convention center expansion, we need to preserve our habitat, which we're planning on doing now. But we need to focus on habitat preservation. Family entertainment offer music, concerts, movies, plays, documentaries, again, films on ecology and nature. When you expand the convention center component, we'll have a larger exhibit area. You can establish or set up additional classrooms and meeting rooms. I'll get the importance of that. You could have displays throughout the center. Examples of local habitat, wildlife, arts, books, and very important, interactive videos. A lot of the zoos, aquariums, any places that focus on our environment and ecology preservation, they'll have films, video monitors, or you push a button, they play, and you learn a lot. We can also attract larger groups. More importantly is the partnerships, and this is what I got to discuss, the theater and classrooms and so forth. So I've reached out. Texas A&M has a school of marine biology. They also have a school of ornithology, which is the study of birds. UTRGV has a coastal lab. Area schools, high schools, grade schools. You have ornithology groups, as we have learned, and clubs throughout the valley. We'd like to partnership with the National Audubon Society and the Wyland Foundation. And partnering with these groups and more, it does offer us some ability and hopefully to work with them and bring educational programs to the island and the a possibility of gaining grants. This is, if this wants to be considered, it's not on the board right now, but in the future we could do a birding, a walk boardwalk with viewing stations, not towers, that connect to the front of the birding center. So when people traverse the boardwalk, they'll end up in the front of the birding center, and then it'll lead them in to visit the birding center. And of course, the parking garage. So we need to embrace our ecology here, our wildlife. We need to support it. So I'm praying that you will designate this as the this area, which is, it's going to be just north of King's Landing and just south of the shores and that whole area, and then east of the boulevard. And we want to designate this as the SPI Ecotourism District. Any questions?
I have a question. How will this impact like future growth in that specific area? Will it be, it's just called a ecotourism district, just a designation.
Yeah.
As of right now, there's a new retail store going in that designation.
Right.
Would it change the face of what could be built in that district?
Not necessarily, and not this isn't any way to restrict future development and so forth, but it is to focus on preservation. So the building you're talking about that's being built, they were able to build on the front part but can't touch the wetlands behind them. It's a very sensitive area around there, and then north of the convention center. So this idea isn't to start putting rules in our code of ordinances and changing, putting restrictions. We want, as part of the process, to look at preserving our natural habitat.
The allowable uses that are in that area right now or in that district would not be changed. So if somebody wanted to build a hotel in that district, they'd be able to do that.
Is that something that could be considered in the future? I'm just asking.
Of course, anything can be considered in the future. We're focusing on when the CVB does their advertisements, you know, throughout the country, they can now focus on our ecotourism district,
okay,
which features, you know, if we do something with the convention center, which may or may not happen, but Sea Turtle and Inc. can help them advertise and bring attention to what we have here on the island.
Okay, I had a couple of questions. First one, actually, you just answered. I was going to ask if the creation of this district or naming of this area was a conjunction with the expansion of the convention center. It sounds like it's completely separate and regardless of what happens with the convention center.
It will
center.
Be, okay. But I still want that area to be called the ecotourism district, regardless of what happens to the convention center.
Okay, good.
You know,
thanks for that
expansion
clarification.
That's maybe.
Right.
You know, we don't know.
Secondly, does the city own all that land?
No.
So would we have to get permission? I assume the county has some of it, and I don't know who else might. But
that's
have to get any permission
point
to
brought
do
that? Out that where the convention center is, there is Ed can help out on that documentation. That we need, anything we do that convention center and land, we have to get their approval.
Okay.
But this is encompassing a whole area. Now the area north of the King's Landing. That's all privately owned. And okay. Sea Turtle Inc. is privately owned land. They own it. The convention center is on leased land.
Okay, so all of those stakeholders would have to agree to the naming of the district or not?
No.
Possibly the county.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else?
That's clear. It's just like the arts district. It's just the name of an area
right. To
attract people to come to, and we can say this is what
right.
is.
But the art district allows you to apply for specific grants related to the art district. Could this happen here too?
Yes. That's why we want to put these partnerships are very, very important. And I know UTRGV, I talked to them 2 weeks ago. They're very interested, as is A&M. And of course, the ornithology groups, there are several of them in the valley. And we know how vocal they can be. But they're very enthusiastic about this, especially the part we're preserving our natural habitat. I thank you for your time. I know you got a full agenda. So hopefully, I'll get a favorable vote and we can go back to city council. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Anybody want to entertain a motion to?
I make a motion, we accept it.
I'll second that motion. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
None opposed. Motion carries. Okay, 5.2, discussion and possible action on the application for a parking distance and offsite parking variance by BG SPI LLC regarding Lot 2, Block 30, Padre Beach, Section 3, which is the Coconuts building.
Yes, good afternoon. Alex Sanchez, Public Works Director.
This is a request that was tabled the last P&Z meeting. So this is on the northwest corner of Laguna Boulevard and Martin Street. We discussed the concept in September 2023. The code changes were made in March 26, 2025, and there was an application that was submitted in April 17, 2025. So basically, the request is to increase the shared parking distance from 200 feet to 694 feet, and this is aerial, like straight line. And so in June 2015, the shared parking distance was 1,200, and then in March 2025, it was reduced to 200 feet. So just a reminder about the hardship. The hardship has to be that the owner faces significant difficulties beyond their control. There's unique conditions. Other factors is making it difficult to comply with the code. It must be supported by strong evidence to justify the variance and that it's not self-created. Shared parking is allowed in this zone. The only difference is that the distance. We have received, on your request, they wanted a final plan. So on August 11th, we did receive the final plans, but we were able to review them until August 20th, which was like yesterday. Mm-hmm. They did revise some of the comments. That was today, that we received them today. So we haven't really reviewed them thoroughly, so there might be some other comments, but to point out the pending items is the tandem parking is not allowed for restaurants. Valet parking will require a special use permit, which can be, you know, the valet can be included in that request. And then I'll have Philly fill you in on something else, but we have received three emails in opposition. Filiberto Arba, building official.
Good afternoon, Chairman and committee members. Filiberto Alba, building official. So just as a clarification on this application, a permit application. So based on the calculations that we made, the gross floor area of that building should not exceed 9,600 square feet, given the 24 parking spaces that they have. So the current square footage exceeds the maximum allowed area, 9,600, and we calculated an approximate of 11,650 square feet, which will require 39 parking spaces approximately. So even if a variance was approved, they still wouldn't comply because of the gross floor area of the building. So, okay. On the first floor, eight parking spaces are proposed, but as Mr. Sanchez said, those are tandem parking spaces, and we only allow that on residential uses. So it should be part of the special use permit. Let me just add the definition that we have on the City of San Pedro Island Code of Ordinances for gross floor area, which means the gross floor area of a building shall be measured by taking outside dimensions of the building at each floor, excluding the floor area of basements or attics when not occupied as living quarters. So in this case, staff recommends following the Code of Ordinances of South Padre Island and the Padre Boulevard Entertainment District Code.
Thank you.
Okay.
Let's open this up to discussion. Anybody? Come on up.
Good afternoon, board, planning and zoning board. My name is Adrian Ramirez. I'm a real estate developer in South Padre Island and throughout Texas, the southern Texas area. Just wanted to say thank you for allowing us to, you know, reassess the matter. Basically, I'm not sure you were, but we're extremely vested here in South Padre Island with many businesses, and we pay our fair share of taxes. And so we're here to present this revised plan, right, reflecting the requested 9,600 square feet. And just like Filiberto and Alex mentioned that we have 11,000 square foot gross, we figured that they were going to measure the change the rules and change the way they measured. So we created another plan, which I brought with me, with a total 9,600 gross square foot total, right, including everything. So we knew this was going to happen. Like, this is not a surprise to us. So we did a plan A, which we sent to them, and we have a plan B, which is a 9,600 square foot gross area, which does meet the requirement, does comply with city ordinances. And so, you know, we have the parking requested, required by the city. It was just a matter of seeing it for ourselves, what they were going to do. And so I basically created a plan A and a plan B. We have both. Our architect worked tirelessly. I believe the plans were sent out at 2 in the morning yesterday. The guy has not slept. But, you know, this is an urgent matter for us. And so we have spent a lot of time on this. We've had a lot of opposition, as you've seen. But, you know, we're very confident that what's requested from us has been done to the exact requirements that the city requests from us. And so we ask that you guys grant this parking variance. We understand that there's a lot of opposition on it. I'm not sure why. America was founded on free enterprise, you know, that we're the number one country in the world because we have free enterprise, and you should not be, you know, turning new businesses down that are family friendly, right? These are family friendly restaurants that basically allow people from other areas, other markets. The true competition should not be within ourselves. It should be Destin. It should be Cancun. We are not providing new offerings to people to come to the island. By us bringing, you know, these national recognizable brands that are family friendly, not nightclubs that kill people, right? There was an incident last week, same bars, same places. Didn't hear much about them, but that's the third death this year. We're proposing a restaurant. And so I ask that you take the time to consider this matter. We've worked tirelessly to do this, and thank you for your time. I hope that you really consider us, because there's about over 100 jobs that are on the line, and this is it's worn us out, but we are fighters and we are not going to give up easily. And thank you for your time, appreciate it. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, the your 2 in the morning plans. That's what we're providing.
Oh, I brought my new plans, the 9,600 gross, and I can email it to everybody, or I can have.
I think we have that.
Oh, you already have them. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Do you do?
Well, this,
I brought one.
This looks like, I mean, this adds up to, you know,
9,600.
Yeah, it
yeah,
does.
I brought my own copies because I knew this was going to happen.
Well, she actually, Badette actually gave us copies. Yeah. She made copies and gave us copies.
We're going to pull a bait and switch on
plan
us.
Plan B.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So. There it is, gentlemen and ladies.
Can I just confirm something?
Sure.
I know last meeting there was just a lot of information put out there, and there were no definite answers to some of the questions that we had had. The plans that were originally done when you first started doing this, were there any submitted for approval prior to the zoning change?
We submitted. We have in record, right, in record over 9 official meetings. With documentation, and about 20 Zoom meetings, again, all on record, where we've, for 2.5 years, we've been going back and forth with the city officials, Alex primarily, and Martha, which is no longer here, but luckily we can paper trail every single meeting, and never had this issue been an Never had this been an issue until recently.
Right.
Now, you normally, if my lawn is a foot long, I get a letter immediately, and I get a fine, right? And that's just for grass. This is a multi-million, this is a $6 million project. That's going to bring a lot of tax revenue for the city. And you don't notify me after 2.5 years of going back and forth that there's going to be a change? I mean, it doesn't make sense.
That was my second question.
Yeah.
Is there any official notification?
None. Not by writing, not by text, not by email. Zero. So it caught us off guard. And again, if your grass is long, you get a fine immediately. They contact you, and you better pay it. Otherwise, they'll put a lien on your property. So that's for grass. This is a $6 million project. That's going to bring so much revenue, so many jobs. Why would you be opposed to that?
Excuse me for a second, and nothing to deal with what Mr. Ramirez just said, but I've been notified that the plans that you all have right here are the ones that have the 11,000 square feet.
Okay. We printed the ones for 9,600 gross.
Yeah, I don't think they have them, though.
We have them, and we can reprint another set.
I've been told that those are...
No, I've got...
Well, these say 9,600 here.
I've got
9,600. Yeah, I can reprint another set.
No, I'm sorry. I was just notified that the ones on the bench were 11,000, but if...
You can let them know that those are plan B, right? Because we knew this was going to happen. We knew that they were going to pull a fast one at the end of at the 12th hour like they've been doing every day. So we brought another set.
I don't know. I was just notified.
This is,
okay, sorry, Mr. Ramirez. Thank you.
No worries.
When we... last meeting, when we tabled this issue, this is what we tabled. This is the issue. And
yeah.
This is what we asked for.
Right.
So you have diligently.
We were tirelessly.
Yeah.
We've met and exceeded.
Forward with your revision. And, okay. All right.
I think this question's been asked before, but can you just remind me, with the original plan, was the originally planned parking at the same location that you're asking the variance for now?
Yes, but because the rules have been...
Right, I understand that.
For some odd reason, the rules have been changing. They keep moving the goalpost. You're at the one-yard line, and they come up with a longer list and a longer list. We know where it's coming from. We're okay. You know, we understand how things work. You got to comply, so we have complied every step of the way. Now, this is a precedent. This is why this is so important, because they're doing that to us right now. You guys are sitting here today. You may not be here in 2 years. There's going to be major brands coming to the island, whether we like it or not, and we're going to have to grow. It's going to happen, guys. Like, we have to adjust to the times and give good offerings to tourists that come to the island. Right now, it's the same old, right? We are trying to bring family businesses to the island that are friendly and give people a chance to come to the island for something different, right? We're not doing anything like, we're not trying to open a nightclub. We're not trying to stay open at 2 a.m. with drunk drivers. We're not trying to do any of that stuff. We're doing a family restaurant.
Okay. Thank you.
And
thank
one more
you.
Question.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. And just to confirm, I know this was probably mentioned last, there was at least a lot of information last meeting, and this was probably brought up. Is there any other option out there right now?
No, that's a very good question. It's Jack. So I can shed a little bit of light on that. So there's one family in there here. It's no secret they control the entertainment district parking, right? It's no secret. You may say, I don't know who they are, but we all know who they are. They made the paper. They've been making the news. They make it physically impossible for anybody to conduct business. It's the fact. Like, you can't cover the sun with one finger. They're the ones that are sending us the code enforcements. They're the ones sending us the, you know, all the problems that are rising are because of that. And so, to answer your question, is there other options? No. And not just for us, for anybody. Not your brother, not your sister, not your uncle. You want to put a pizza parlor? If you don't have 24 parking spaces, which is physically impossible to get, we all know that here in this room, you're not going to have a business. So you're basically, you have a monopoly. That's it. There is a monopoly at the entertainment district.
Thank you.
Which is illegal.
Okay. Thank you. You wish to speak on...
No, I think, I just think, I was confused because I don't think staff has had the opportunity to calculate the square footage on the on the plans.
It's right here.
Can you ask Mr. Fiedler to come up and maybe talk about that?
Yeah.
No, I'm asking the building official to address the board if he could.
It is on the plan.
Yeah, it's right here, but I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know, but is that the same calculation that the city staff has, is my question. Because that's why I was a little confused.
Okay, so the main issue here in regards to the gross floor area calculation is the fact that the decks on the back of the property, first and second floor, which are going to have an outdoor dining area, and you can see it on the plans, they have tables and chairs, are not considered into the gross floor area calculation.
Does that area extend out into the bay?
Yeah.
It does, okay.
Yes, sir.
That's what I want to clarify, that we have a plan that includes the gross area.
Okay.
We do have that
included. I just don't understand if this is the latest, early this morning plan. I don't understand why the staff doesn't have it.
No, sir. So on the plans they submitted, on the first page, I think it's the bottom left corner, they added the gross floor area calculations, but they are not considering the rear first and second floor decks.
Alex, has the city had a chance to look at review Plan B?
We have not received any Plan B.
I can send it right now. You don't have it.
Yeah. Well, I think that this is really a non-issue if you're talking about a deck that extends out off from the property. You might run into problems with, GLO, CORE, whoever. That may be another battle for you, but that doesn't affect anything that's going to be built on the ground. I just don't think the deck and the balcony above, I don't think that's even really an issue. Whether it's included, not included, I just think it's kind of a separate deal.
So the main reason why we came up with the 11,650 square feet for the building is the fact that if that space is to be considered, it's going to be seating an approximate of 86 people. And let's say that they we consider four people, four persons per car. That'll be like 20 plus cars or parking spaces.
So if I can show right the Plan B, because it apparently got lost. I have it right here. We can shoot it in the camera, and it's including the deck. Sure. So I have, I don't know if I can point
Alex,
this to the camera.
Alex, can you help him with the, there you go.
We have plans that we reduced the footprint and we brought the building in to include gross area, right? Because they were going to do, the plans were going to magically disappear, right? So we created a Plan B, and so we have them. We even if the issue is a deck, gentlemen and ladies, we have the plans where we reduce. We have both plans. Okay. So the thing is that if I send the plans, they're going to disappear, or they're going to come up with new things. So I have them. I have A and B. I made them do both. So pick one. Give me the one that you want, the 9600 with the deck inside. I'll give you that. But don't table it, or don't deny it because they have a different set of plans. We have both plans, gentlemen and ladies. We have a 9600 with the deck, and we have a 9600 without the deck. So you tell me which one you want, and I'll give you that.
Was the 9600 presented to the staff?
We emailed it. We've been emailing them.
When this 2 o'clock this morning, or
2 o'clock this morning? Yes, but that's fine. I mean, you got to have some compassion, and we've worked extremely diligently on this.
What do you mean by plans disappearing? I think the commission would find that offensive. I mean, there's no evidence
nobody has them.
Yeah, because you sent them what, 10 hours ago.
So maybe that's the case, but I have them here.
No one's had a chance to review them.
I mean, we went to the office this morning, and we printed plans. We met with the city officials, with Alex, and with Filiberto, and everything was a go. They gave us a green light. We asked them, are you good, Alex? Are you good, Myra? Are you good, Filiberto? Everything's perfect.
Yeah, I have no, if they've reviewed the plans for the 96, and I have no problem with it.
I was in his office 2 hours ago.
Okay.
In his office for 1 hour, and I told him, are we good, gentlemen?
And they reviewed the plans. They reviewed the 9600.
They did review them because they ended up in your agenda, and it's the 9600. Those were sent last night.
Okay.
So
yeah, that's what we're considering is the 9600.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to give you, 9600.
Yeah.
The square footage of the decks.
I will give you the ones that include the decks.
Which looks like what you did was you reduced third floor.
And B, with decks, without decks.
Okay, I just
I'll give you the one you want me to give you.
Yeah, well, you know, certainly I think we would all agree that
the
plan B,
yeah,
right,
headed where we're what we're pushing for.
Right, and the other item.
Do you have plan B? We have plan A.
I have it right here, and I can email it to
you. But you don't have hard copies of plan B.
We have hard copies, but the thing is that they printed the plans for us, so I don't know if they printed A or B, but I have them. I have it right here in my email. I have the copies.
What we have is 90 footprint building square footage, 9600.
Yeah,
it does appear to be.
And to be quite honest, I thought that that's what we printed, right?
We have A. We have A 1.0, A 2.0, A 2.01, and A 2.02. That is what we have.
So I can, like I said, what would you guys like me to do? Because I have it right here in my email. And it's a reduced version, including the reduced parking.
You've been in contact, or in other words, you've reviewed this with staff, plan B.
2 hours ago, yeah.
Plan B. Yes,
that's what we're talking about. Even though we don't have it in front of us, plan B was more or less.
Yeah, we said it's the 9600.
It was given the green light.
I told him like six times, it's the 9600, right? It meets your requirements. Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. Multiple times we sat in their office and they said yes, and now we show up and they're like, hey, if you include the patios, we're at 11,000. We knew that was going to happen, so we made two plans. We made an A and a B. Mm-hmm. We're giving you the 96 with the patios, and that puts that resolves the issue.
Okay, let's see. Okay, all right, thank you.
Thank you for your consideration.
Anybody else? Come on up here.
Hi, I'm Annie Holland Miller. I'm with South Padre Redevelopment Company. I wanted to just reiterate a couple of things from the last meeting. As the island continues to grow and we're attracting more residents, more entrepreneurs, year-round tourism, the island's parking infrastructure, policies, and enforcement tools have not kept pace. Whether during a high traffic event weekend, peak dinner hours, or even an average weekday in the season, parking constraints are becoming a visible, persistent, and disruptive issue. Privately owned lots are being used by individuals who are not patrons of the businesses they serve. And those privately owned lots, those parking spaces in those privately owned lots, are there to serve businesses and they're there based on the city's code. In response to these realities, the city has begun to revisit parking ordinances and development standards, but the efforts need to be continued, the efforts need to be reviewed, and we've got to figure something out. Policy updates are only as effective as their enforcement. If the city is investing the time and resources into making thoughtful changes, but then granting variances, we should be revisiting the ordinances and changing the ordinances. A variance should be an exception, not the rule. This is about consistency, it's about fairness, and it's about the message we send to future investors and stakeholders in this community. We want growth and development to continue. We know this island needs new energy, new businesses, and new ideas to thrive. We want to support that. But if we are to welcome and support continued development, we also have to be proactive in creating real, workable parking solutions to support the growth. The reason it is important to look at that decking, and I'm just going based off of the plans that were posted with the agenda packet. Those plans, if you go through and count the number of seats inside the building, you've got 208 seats. Let's assume 6 people come in each car, which really assumes that half the people don't bring a car. That's 35 cars. There's an additional 120 seats outside on those decks. That's a lot of people. The city has got to address this. This is an island. There are lots of places with open air space. As I said at the last meeting, I would love to be able to think that we don't need 415 parking places. That's a lot of land to have sitting there for parking. So our hope is that the city truly takes the time to address these issues. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Filiberto Alba, building official, Mr. Chairman. Just to make it very clear, all this confusion about the 9,600 square feet versus the 11,650, we came up with that calculation because we calculated the gross floor area ourselves. The plans they submitted and the plans that we printed out for Mr. Ramirez and Mr. Casan do not include any dimensions. So they just added the total gross floor area on the bottom, and they put, yes, 9,600, but that was it.
Well, if there, go ahead.
Yes, this morning when we were reviewing those plans, we measured wall by wall. We calculated every single area, including the decks, and that's why we came up with the 11,650. Yes, the plants do say 9,600 square feet total. I think it's 4,100 on one floor and then 55 on the first, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 5,145. But, you know, we're... If this was to pass, it would only pass on with a stipulation that his feet are held to the fire. That is the size. That is the restriction that we're putting on him, and he seems to acknowledge that.
Yeah. It's just that okay,
including the deck areas. That's the issue. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole issue.
Yes, and. We compared the first revised set of plans that omitted the first floor enclosed area to the ones that we received this morning. And the building footprint is the exact same. So nothing changed, basically, except for the location of the stairs, which on the last one was encroaching into the 5 feet side setback.
Thank you very much.
I guess my name is Nitin Kasan. I guess to answer Filiberto's, response, the reason why the 9600 is the same on both of those is because, like we just mentioned, we shrank it and it's all 9600, but now including the deck. So that was the only reason why it's the same square footage on both plans.
Yeah,
one is including the deck and one is including not the deck, and that's all it is.
Yeah, the one that you just have in front of you, that's the one with the reduced deck, reduced walls, 96 gross walls, interior, everything, staircases, the whole enchilada.
And the ones that were just given to committee
includes the deck.
Plans that were reviewed by staff this afternoon.
We were in the impression that that's what they were reviewing, but apparently not.
Met with them.
Yeah, that's what they told us. We went to their office and they printed the documents. I verified three times. These are the plans, right? They meet the code? Yes.
Code A2.01.
I just checked with Myra and I printed the documents with Myra, and those are the reduced versions.
Okay. They
were set. So I know they had a meeting at 2:00, it's no surprise, to prepare for this meeting. Because I knew I had a gut feeling that this was going to happen, I also prepared myself and came up with a plan B, right? And that's what you have, gentlemen, in front of you. Because I knew this was going to happen. It's not fair.
Well, what you've done, we tabled last meeting for you to do exactly this.
Correct.
You've done that. We need to move forward on it. I think we need to
make a decision. Please do.
Well, I don't know how it would go. I'm just saying we need to. You've done what we've asked you to, and we appreciate
yes.
that. And that you did that in a timely manner. Okay, thank you. Anybody else wish to speak? What's your name, please?
Good afternoon. My name is Stephanie Roman, and I represent the developer. I was here at the last meeting, and I'll keep this brief, but I wanted to state that I agree with Annie Holland. I think that the city and the commission and the council does need to look at the situation with parking. At the last meeting, I don't know if you guys remember or recall, we talked about the original requirement, the parking ordinance, a distance requirement was 1,200 feet. It was reduced down to 200 linear feet distance. And there was a question by one of the council members as to whether when you were making that amendment for the feet, whether that was in your minds, if you were thinking about it from a residential perspective or from a commercial perspective. And so that got me thinking after the meeting that we had, and I started to look at other cities. I looked at the municipal ordinances for McAllen. I looked at the municipal ordinance for Edinburgh. I looked at the municipal ordinances for Harlingen. There is no distance requirement for parking. So then I thought I would look at something that was substantially similar to South Padre Island, which is what in Texas? Galveston. Galveston is an island, and Galveston does have a distance requirement that is over 600 feet for shared parking, for commercial, and they do also allow off-site parking lot agreements to developers and businesses so that they can meet the parking ratio requirements. We think Galveston Island would be a good example for you to use moving forward to implement variances and as well as parking agreements. It's not uncommon for municipalities to do that. In fact, it happens in Houston, it happens in Austin, it happens in Dallas. If you go on Houston's website in the municipal ordinances for Planning and Zoning Commission and specifically development, there is actually an application for variances. As well, Austin, which has extremely tight and strict ordinances, they also have an application for variances. So when Annie Holland says that doing a variance or having a parking agreement is out of the ordinary and not standard practice, that is absolutely false. That is a standard practice. It's a good practice to use for planning and zoning. There are reasons, a substantial amount of reasons, other than using the parking lot agreement to benefit businesses, that you would want a variance for. One is you want to have greater flexibility in site planning. Two is you want to promote investment, which you all are doing every single day. There's a lot of businesses that are going to be coming into this island, as you know. It's not only my clients. You're going to see major national retail developers starting to come down to South Padre. So if it's not us, it's going to be them. But this is going to be a continued issue for you. You are going to see other developers who are going to request variances. They're going to request easements. They're also going to request parking lot agreements so that they can share parking, because the standard that you have placed on commercial businesses of only being able to park within 200 linear feet is extremely restrictive. In addition to that, if you grant the variance to my client, most of their customers are family. They're young children, they're young couples, probably in their 20s or 30s. They don't mind walking 3 or 4 minutes to go to the restaurant. Most of them will also Uber. Many 20, 30, 40, 50-year-olds Uber to and from places. So you're not going to see so many... You're not going to see such a big problem. The other thing I wanted to say is that if you have a further distance requirement, you're not going to see stacking. You're not going to see congestion of parking. What you're going to see is pedestrian traffic, which is what you're going to want. You're going to want people to walk around, like in Europe, and go from one business to another, to another, to another. So in this instance, I want to thank you for your time. I want you to please consider my client's request for the variance, and also please consider that they have and want to have in place a parking lot use agreement that would be filed of record so that they can accommodate their use on their property, and that this will be a example of a type of shared business slash parking arrangement that you can use in the future, because if it's not my clients, it's going to be someone else. And you're going to see the same argument over and over and over again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, let me just make a note that I have had the opportunity to speak with Ms. Roman. It's in your packet, but I prepared a revised off-site parking agreement, which she indicated to me that she's in agreement with, but just would have to make some corrections to the signature line and add a notary section for it. So, and of course, as she indicated, if this board decides or this commission decides to grant the variance, it would be subject to that that agreement being filed with the county. Is that
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Roman. I was also, I'm sorry, requested to ask you, since a couple letters were not included in the packet and there's people are not present, that those letters be read into the record. Somebody wrote a few letters regarding the variance. I don't know if they're against it, in favor or against it, but if you would have take the moment to read those into the record, since they're not present and they were not part of the packet, I don't believe. That was requested by me to ask. At any time you think it's appropriate.
How many do we have? Well, we've got three in our packet here.
Okay, I thought you said you were going to read them. Okay, that's fine, as long as they're part of the packet. Or can you just, are they letters in favor or in opposition or?
They're all opposed. Yeah. They range from homeowners to business owners.
Okay. Thank you.
Barely for time's sake, but.
I've been reminded they're not actually what I meant by the packet. They're not online. We weren't able to get them online on the packet.
Actually, okay, that's clerical. We can certainly do that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but they're on record with us. They're in our packet. Okay. All right.
I have a quick question for Alex. The plans that were handed to us a few moments ago, has the city reviewed these?
No, sir.
Not at all. Okay.
But if they meet the requirements of the square footage, you know, but we can always, like, if you approve this, we'll make sure that it meets the requirements.
Understand. Thank you. That's good.
All right, anybody want to speak from the board?
And like you mentioned, it looks like they've met the requirements we've asked them to come back with. Mm-hmm. So I don't see why we wouldn't recommend to approve the variance.
Well, if we do that, I mean, we kind of articulated the hardship last time with the timeline and the original time that the original plans. But if we do approve it, I think that we should do it contingent upon the plans meeting all other ordinance requirements approved by the city and the revised shared parking agreement completed and filed with the county.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. That sounds right. Yeah.
Anybody else?
I agree. The timeline to me was this, but there I know there are concerns that we are, if the variance is approved, we would be setting a precedence. Without people taking into consideration that we view each individual variance request in this committee on a hardship basis for that request only. Mm-hmm. And the timeline in here meets, in my opinion, the part of the thing that says, as an owner faced significant difficulties or challenges with complying with the existing regulations for reasons beyond your control, which is the change in the ordinance. Right. Almost 2 years after the first initial and multiple contacts with the city.
Absolutely.
Regarding it.
Absolutely.
Two words making recommendation to the city.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
Well, you articulated.
I can remember what I said.
Yeah. Well, somebody write it down. Sounded good to us.
Yep. Okay, you're trying to get me to say it again, aren't you? All right. I'll
Chairman,
go with that motion.
I would make sure that you do. Say it's option A or option B.
Well, it's the 9,600.
9,600 feet.
Okay. Right.
Contingent upon it or conditioned upon it being the 9,600 square feet.
Including the decks.
Including the decks.
Well, I'll go ahead and try that.
And evidence that the parking agreement was filed, which should not be a problem.
So the motion I'll make is that this committee recommend to the city approval of the variance contingent upon approved plans by the city that do not exceed 9,600 square feet, including deck area, and meet all other ordinance requirements, and that the revised shared parking agreement is approved and filed with the county.
There's a motion. We have a motion and a
Take
second.
Take a second.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. No opposition. Okay. Motion carries. Three, discussion and possible action regarding the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendation of July 17, 2025 meeting to not issue any new licenses for short-term rentals. I brought this to the agenda today, and just briefly, I just speak for a moment on this. That meeting, the agenda item was essentially it was one property and one street. That was why this came about. And I think through maybe over discussion, I think we might have gone out over our skis, because I feel like by making that recommendation, we've put a hardship, not a hardship, but we've taken property rights from too many properties. And I mean, large swaths of properties in these zoning, in these areas. And, you know, this one particular property was the initial issue at hand, and I think we expanded it just, you know, way too much. So that being said, I think
yeah, if I may.
Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I would like to address this issue since I made that motion at the July 17th meeting, and I apologize, and I have a lot to say before the public has a chance to make comments. But what occurred that day was that this committee was asked to make a recommendation to the city after considering a petition from residents on West Carolyn Street to end short-term parking on that particular street. Then, as you said, after a lot of discussion, it kind of became clear that the request from those residents was a reflection of not only their frustration, but frustration felt by residents pretty much all over the island. Then ultimately, I made a motion to recommend denial of that request due to fairness to the property owners, not only the short-term rentals on that street, but property owners in the surrounding area, as well as other reasons that we articulated pretty thoroughly that day. However, I then added a recommendation that the City Council consider a moratorium on short-term licenses in areas originally zoned, planned, designed, and developed as residential, not transitory hotel zones. That motion then passed. Now, if I make a mistake, I'll be the first to stand up and admit it. And if I push a little too far, I'll do what I can to correct it. In making the second part of that motion that day, I did make a mistake in that it was kind of outside of the scope of what we were addressing. Not to say that the problems leading to the frustration that was expressed by residents that day don't exist, they certainly do. In a perfect world, every person that rents in our community would absolutely respect the neighbors and neighborhoods that they're staying in. And most of them do. The vast majority of them really do. But unfortunately, it only takes a few bad incidents to put a bad taste in residents' mouths and give them bad impressions of short-term rentals. Now, the city has a very difficult job in balancing the rights of property owners, the many benefits of short-term rentals, and its absolute responsibility to protect the quality of life in our communities and preserve the character of our residential neighborhoods. In an effort to do exactly that, South Padre Island has passed several ordinances, some of which are only now coming into effect. I believe that with vigorous, fair, proactive enforcement of those ordinances, we can minimize the harm while maximizing the benefit of short-term rentals without imposing any moratorium. So, upon the completion of any further discussion, I will be making a motion to withdraw our recommendation from July 17th and replace it with a motion simply to deny the request of the residents of West Caroline Street to stop short term rentals on that street for all the reasons we articulated that day.
Okay, I just think now we're getting into, you know, I think Ed, you can chime in on this too. You're almost talking spot zoning.
No, I'm not. I'm saying we're not doing that. I'm saying we're not doing
you're,
more.
You're not changing the zoning, but you're.
I think he's trying to rescind the recommendation.
The recommendation.
Oh, I thought you were saying, okay, rescind the recommendation.
Yeah,
however,
no, I'm saying rescind the recommendation about made on July 17th, and replace it with a recommendation simply to deny the petition request of those.
Yeah, just rescinding the part about the moratorium on short-term rentals.
Aye, short-term rentals.
Right. No, no, not
I
at
see.
All.
I
not
see.
At all. No, I believe, like I said, I believe that with vigorous, fair, and proactive enforcement of the ordinances
absolutely.
That are now going into effect,
absolutely.
Should be good.
So he's making a motion to rescind the part of the recommendation that
right.
put a moratorium on short-term rentals.
I just
essentially. Whole thing and
yeah,
then just
well,
redo
yeah.
another
well,
one.
You kind of have to rescind the whole thing and then resubmit
yeah,
it as a recommendation to
sure.
the city to deny the request
I
of
see.
The citizens of West Carolina to stop short-term rentals on their street.
Yeah, the way I was hearing it was and make the new recommendation or a new motion
no.
restricting.
No, it wasn't restricting
Carolina
anything.
Only.
No, sir.
Okay, no.
No, sir.
That's not what it was. Okay. All right. Anybody here want to speak after the fact?
Say good job.
Oh, please. I was taught when you win, don't say anything, but.
That would be true. Tom Goodman on here. And I just want to, again, commend you, gentlemen, for all the work you're doing, ma'am, for all the work that you're doing. And I just want to reinforce that, yes. Short-term vacation rentals, and those of us who have been in the business for decades are trying very diligently to make sure that we're good citizens to everybody out there and are willing, as always, and would love to see the town continue enforcement at a higher level. So,
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
All right. Well, we have a motion.
I'll second.
Second. All in favor, aye.
None opposed. This is to rescind the first one.
Rescind the first one and deny the yeah. Baron's request for West Carolina.
Exactly. Exactly.
I will vote for that one.
Okay.
So
I thought it was pretty clear.
It was. It was very clear.
All right. So we're done. That covered all of what you said. Okay. We are adjourned.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. That was yeah, that simple. Was.